Let's go to the book of 2 Chronicles first of all. We'll establish some of the background here, and then we'll go over to Jeremiah chapter 26. Now, the first king, I believe, that is mentioned in the book of Jeremiah, if I'm not mistaken, is Josiah. If you'll go back to, let's say, 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 20, we see Josiah's father mentioned. In fact, his father was a very, very decrepit, perverted, polluted, compromising individual. He was a bad king. You remember what Dr. Martin said last Wednesday night? He talked about the reversals in the Old Testament, how you have somebody that's a good king and ends up with a bad son, or a good prophet and he ends up with a bad son, and then you get a bad prophet and he ends up with a good son. There are many illustrations of that in the Bible. In fact, this is one of them. Manasseh slept with his fathers. That means he died. And they buried him in his own house. And Ammon, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, Ammon was 2 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned only 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father, for Ammon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had. In other words, Manasseh had come to a place in his life where he realized he was wrong, he repented and got right with God. But Ammon trespassed more and more, verse 23 says. His servants conspired against him and slew him in his house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son, this is Manasseh's grandson, king in his stead. Now Josiah is the first king that's mentioned in the book of Jeremiah. So this is the time of the reign of Jeremiah. And I'm just going to highlight some of the things from these chapters, not to bore you. Notice chapter 34, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. How'd you like to have that responsibility? To be a king at 8 years of age. And he reigned in Jerusalem 1 and 30 years. How many is that? 31. Very good. That King James is difficult to understand, but if you're educated like me, you can usually figure those numbers out. It doesn't take that much. Look at verse 3. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, how old was he? 16, that's correct. He began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places. Josiah is known as a good king. Look at verse 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign, how old is he now? You're getting slower in your math. He's 26 now. He was 8 when he started. He's 18. When he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. All right, let's go over to chapter 35 now. Pick it up there. Here's Josiah now, same guy, chapter 35. Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. That was a good thing to do. That's when they were supposed to do it. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. Josiah was a good king. He did many good things as king. Now, let's move into chapter 36. Let me give you this as you're turning there to chapter 36. Let me give you this order. Josiah was followed by Jehoahaz. Josiah reigned, I'm trying to think. Did it say 30? He was 31. I think 31 years. Is that the number? Right? Okay. And then Jehoahaz, his son, reigned for a mere 3 months. Following him was Jehoiakim, 11 years, then Jehoiachin for 3 months, and then Zedekiah for 11 years and 5 months, and then Jeconiah. Did you get that? You're going to have a test in 5 minutes, all right? Josiah, here's the order. Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, Zedekiah, and Jeconiah. So all these names show up, and it's easy to get confused as I am confused right now, it's easy to get confused and not keep them straight. Now, we said the first one was Josiah. Look at chapter 36, verse 1. Then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's stead in Jerusalem. Now, Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign. How old was he? 23. See, again, you can sort that difficult King James English out. And he reigned for only 3 months in Jerusalem. Look at chapter 36, verse 5. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar. Remember him? He was the king of Babylon, that took captive the children of Israel. Jeremiah is prophesying all through the book. He says, you better get right. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. You better get straight with God. Judgment is coming. And judgment was coming in the form of an army led by a king from a country called Babylon. And the king's name is Nebuchadnezzar. So this is the fella that Jeremiah is prophesying about, who is going to come against Israel and, or Judah, the two southern tribes specifically, and take them into captivity. And notice, against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. Now, you need to understand that over a period of about 20 years, Nebuchadnezzar continually plagued the children of Israel. The first time that Jerusalem was attacked was about 606 years before Christ. And, of course, there's a great deal of devastation. Certain individuals were taken into captivity. But about 20 years later, Nebuchadnezzar attacked for his final time. And the final time, he leveled the city. He took anything that was worth anything with him, including the people. He left the peasants in the garbage, essentially, behind, and took anything that was good off into Babylon. Notice verse 7. It says, Nebuchadnezzar also carried off the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in his temple at Babylon. He took the various pieces of hardware that were used in the temple in the worship ceremony. He said, they look pretty nice. You know, of course, much of it was made and covered with gold. It was worth a good portion of money. So he took all of that stuff that was part of the good stuff with him. Now, it says the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations which he did, and that which was found in him, behold, they're written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. And Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. Josiah, the first one, he was a good king. He was the son of Ammon, who was the son of Manasseh, a very bad king. Josiah was followed by Jehoahaz. He only lasted 3 months. Then Jehoiakim, 11 years, and he was, according to the passage we read, he was taken off into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. And then Jehoiachin, verse 9, was 8 years old, another youngster, when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days. He didn't last very long either. Then the person that followed him, verse 10, and when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon, that is Jehoiachin, with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made, here's another person, another king, Zedekiah, his brother, that's not Nebuchadnezzar's brother, but Jehoiachin's brother, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. Zedekiah was a puppet. That's not what it says there, but essentially he was. He was 1 and 20 years old. How old is that? We're catching on. When he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, because he did essentially what Nebuchadnezzar wanted him to do. He was a puppet for him. And humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet. See that? Because we're going to see his name as we come into the next chapters of the book of Jeremiah. Zedekiah shows up. Let's run over very quickly to verse 20 of the same chapter. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon. That is, the people that they didn't kill when they besieged the city, he took the rest of them captives to make them slaves or to use them in one way or another, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. The Persians, Medo-Persians, ultimately conquered the Babylonians as the world power. But the Bible says that all of those people from Jerusalem that were carried away, that weren't killed, they were carried away, they became slaves in Babylon until the Medes and Persians conquered the Babylonians. To fulfill, watch verse 21, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. All that we've read in the first 25 chapters of the book of Jeremiah is Jeremiah warning the children of Israel, if you don't get right, judgment is coming. Of course, the priests, the prophets, the pastors, all of the religious people and the kings essentially went against Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, you're full of baloney. You don't know what you're talking about. And basically the majority, the vast majority, almost a unanimous majority, voted against Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, you're wrong. The king would go to the priests and say, what do you think? And they said, hey, everything looks okay to me. The false prophets, hey, everything looks good to me. I mean, we got, you know, 3 weeks vacation. We got 2-car garages. I got food in the freezer and refrigerator. Everything's going wonderful. I don't know what Jeremiah's talking about. And they were lying. They were prophets, Jeremiah says, not sent. They weren't sent by God. They were lying prophets. Anyway, that gives us a little bit of the background. 2 Chronicles 36 is the last chapter of the Chronicles, of this portion of God's Word, and it essentially ends with Jeremiah's prophetical ministry to Israel, Nebuchadnezzar taking captive the children of, when I say Israel, I say that corporately, Judah technically is the proper terminology here. And then notice in verse 23, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia. The Persians show up at the end of 2 Chronicles, mentioned at the end of 2 Chronicles 23, which takes us back now over to the book of Jeremiah. Now you say, Pastor, why did you do all that? To reestablish a little bit of the history that Pastor Curran was talking about. History is important. And one thing man learns from history, he doesn't learn anything from history. And these things are written for our admonition. Why is this written? It's written so we don't do the same foolish, dumb, rebellious things that the Jews did in rebelling against God, not listening to His prophets, His preachers, not listening to His Word, and basically doing what we want to do. In doing that, we invite the consequences, the judgment of God on our lives. Also, if you're in Jeremiah and you want to just put maybe at the front, the beginning of that book, a reference, you could put down 2 Chronicles 33, 34, 35, 36. And before you read Jeremiah, you can go back there and it'll give you a little bit of an historical timeline for the material that you're going to read in the 52 chapters. Now, if you're visiting, we're in chapter 26. We are not going to go to chapter 52 tonight. I promise you that. In fact, we're just going to read through chapter 26 this evening. And this won't be deep, it won't be hard, but at least you got the background of what's going on. It says, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, he was the second king. Well, actually, you mentioned Manasseh, Ammon, that was his son, Josiah, and then Jehoiakim. He was the fourth king on the list, going back to chapter 33. The son of Josiah, the king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. That is, don't hold back anything. You tell them exactly what I tell you to tell them. Now the prophets were preachers. They were God's representatives to the people. They represented God's purposes, God's plans, God's expectations for the people to the people. They came to them and said, God said, thus saith the Lord. And then they preached to the people. And generally, people like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they preached to attempt to get the people right or living according to the principles of God's Word. And now you have to understand that Jeremiah isn't really the most popular person in Judah at this time. He's not their favorite son. In fact, I don't really see up to this portion that there's very many people, if any, that think positively about him. And then God says, I want you to go down to my house, go down to the temple in Jerusalem, and I want you to stand there. That's where all the spiritual religious people or pseudo-religious people go. He says, I want you to go down there and I want you to preach to them, and I don't want you to hold back at all. I want you to tell them exactly what I'm telling you to tell them. Do not diminish a word. This guy's got guts. He never had a popular message. He didn't go down there and go, folks, please listen. God is love. God is wonderful. God loves us all. And God just accepts everybody. Anyway, anyhow. Just try your best. Everybody makes mistakes. Go and sow your wild oats. But we just hope that someday, somehow, that when we all go to that big old place up in the sky, the big temple in the sky, we know that God will invite all of us in, and we'll all be equal, we'll all be saved for all of eternity. Okay? He didn't say that. Didn't say that at all. Didn't say anything like that in the first 25 chapters. By the way, I've read chapter 26. I don't expect that he's going to say anything like that in this chapter. If so be, verse 3, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of evil. That is, I'll change my mind about bringing judgment on them, which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken, that is to listen. See the word hear and hearken? I know that's a tough word, hearken. Let's work on that one for a moment. Hearken means hear. Listen to me, in other words. Hearken. Verse 5. To hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. Will I make this house like Shiloh. Now, you have to go back into your own Old Testament a little bit to understand what that means. But if you read, you've gone through a big picture Bible study, you know what that means. How many of you have gone through a big picture Bible study? A lot of you have. You know what that means then. Shiloh had been abandoned by God many years before. Many, many years before. And what Jeremiah says is Jerusalem is going to be just like Shiloh. No presence of God. No glory of God. Hence, no blessing of God. If you don't repent, if you don't straighten out, there isn't going to be, or there will not be, any blessings from God. Can I interject for a moment? America, listen up. America, we're the most blessed country on the face of the earth. If you don't listen to God, your blessings will evaporate. It's a tough time we live in, folks. Things are heading down the slippery slope. It's like a roller coaster going downhill. It's not the same speed at the top of the hill it is by the time you get to the bottom. By the time you get to the bottom of the hill on a roller coaster, things are moving really fast. They're going downhill fast. I don't know where we are on the hill. It doesn't look like we're going to get off, though. We're on a slippery slope. I fear for my children. I fear for my grandchildren. Then will I make this house like Shiloh, and make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking, and he was done, like some of you hope I will be, all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, this is the response to the invitation. Okay, now let's all come forward. Thou shalt surely die. We're going to kill you, they said. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt like you're the only person around that believes God, believes the Bible, stands for righteousness? You're in good company. I'm sure Jeremiah felt that way. We know that if you've been with us on preceding Sunday nights. We found him at the point of complaining to God, saying, God, I can't take the heat, man. Kill me. I can't take it anymore. Of course, God didn't answer that prayer, and he got revitalized along the way. Verse 10 says, when the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and all the people, saying, this man, that is Jeremiah, is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me. The Lord sent me. He sent me to prophesy, that is, to preach against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. I didn't make up what I just said. I'm representing God. This is for our good. Let's do right. Let's honor God's principles. Therefore, now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. God will change his mind. He won't destroy you. He'll bless you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. You can do what you want to do with me. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. If you kill me, my blood is going to be on your hands. You will be guilty of killing an innocent preacher, somebody who's merely representing God and preaching for your benefit and for our nation's benefit and for the future of this city and the temple and our sacrifices, our culture, our way of life. It'll be spared. It'll be saved. But if you don't, we'll be absorbed into the world. We'll be taken off to Babylon. And they're going to try to make you Babylonian. Hey, folks, they're trying to make you Babylonians. It's okay, you can be Christian. We just want you to be a Babylonian Christian. Come on over here. Join us. It's not that bad. Hey, we've got prophets and priests here that are on our side. See? They're lined up here. It's okay. We want you to be a Babylonian. It's not that bad. 16. Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. I don't think the religious guys were all for that response. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Moreshethite, that is Micah the prophet, the little book Micah in the Old Testament, prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, this is years before, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the houses, the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him at all to death? Did they kill Micah? Don't you remember Micah? He told the truth. Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? Thus might we procure great evil against our souls. Here's the politicians saying, we need to listen to the prophet, the town supervisor. I like what I hear. The district attorney, he says, yeah, that's right. The county manager says, makes sense to me what Jeremiah is saying. But the priest said, and the prophets, the false prophets said, he doesn't know what he's talking about. The politicians wanted to do right. The princes wanted to do right. It was the religious people, the liberal crowd, the people who didn't believe the Word of God, the people who didn't believe the preacher. They were the one that were, they were undermining the ministry of Jeremiah, and ultimately led to the destruction of the people. They were taken into bondage. Oh, it's okay. A little sin won't hurt you. Why don't we legalize drugs? It costs us so much money. Think of the money we'll save if we legalize drugs. Then we can empty the jails. No problem. We could legalize gambling. In fact, what we can do is we can make a lot of money off it. It's going to be a blessing to us. Think of the money we'll be rolling in dough. And while we're at it, why don't we legalize prostitution? We can tax it. We'll get a dime on every dollar from the prostitutes. In fact, we'll charge them $50 for a license. We can put that in our pocket too. It's a slippery slope, people. You can make money off lots of things. The priest said, sounds okay to us. I don't know what he's talking about. But the politicians, they were a little wary. Where did I leave off here? What verse was I at? 20? And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah. They're telling the story. Again, the politicians here. The son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes, heard his words, and the king sought to put him to death, but when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went to Egypt. Wow. And Jehoiakim, the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt, and they fetched forth Urijah. This is really the only mention in the Old Testament of this man, but he was a prophet of God, and his message wasn't received, and he ran away to Egypt, but they chased after him and said, go get that guy. Verse 23, they fetched him out of Egypt, brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. Now I'm going to end there tonight. There's some people, there's a struggle going on. Some of the politicians, although they aren't what I would call converted, they see the sense, the logic, the spiritual logic of Jeremiah's message. Obviously, they detected some things that were spiritually askew in the kingdom. And they said, we need to listen to this guy. Remember Urijah? Remember Micah? Remember those fellas? Remember what we did to one and almost did to the other? Might not be a good idea. And there were people that stood up and defended Jeremiah. Thank God for a few people that will do that. Things continue to deteriorate, though, in chapter 27, and we'll pick that up not next week because Dr. Keene will be here, but the following Sunday night we'll continue in the book of Jeremiah. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Now, Lord, these things were written for our admonition. I don't take what I read here tonight lightly. In so many ways, it can look in our own country, our own culture, and see things deteriorating. Now, I don't want to be, Lord, you know me, I don't want to be negative. I want to be a positive person. And I'm positive about a lot of things. But I'm afraid. I see people, respectable people, religious people, who claim to be religious leaders. I see people like that are taking some big steps backwards. Lord, I see some very, very distressing consequences on the horizon for those things. In fact, Lord, we may be already experiencing some of them. God, help us to be strong. Help us to be Jeremiah's, who in the face of opposition, overwhelming opposition, stood his ground because he knew what he believed, why he believed it. He spoke it clearly, and then he let things fall out in life where they may. He was willing to give his life, if need be, for you, Lord, and for that we have to admire him. We have to respect him. Lord, help us to have a little bit of the fire that burned in the breast of Jeremiah, that we might be strong in these days for the truth, for the Word of God, for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen. Now, before I invite